This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
You know, years ago, I remember as a young man reading 2 Thessalonians 1:3, and in that little verse it says, you know, we ought to always thank God for you because your faith is growing more and more. And as a young man, I thought, oh, this is key. I just learned something. Our faith can grow, and it can grow more and more. But the only problem was I wondered, well, yeah, but how does it grow? You know, how am I going to be a man who is growing in my faith, and what's going to happen? Well, in the years since, I can say categorically that my faith has grown. I could tell you that I think my faith is as strong as it has ever been, that God has taken me from one degree of faith to another. And over the years, I even think I kind of know how that happens. And how it happens is not really great news in a sense, because as you would probably understand, that most of the growth that we experience as believers, much of it comes through trials and tests that strengthen our faith. And I can tell you in my own life that when I look back in my life, I see that it's the difficult times that I've gone through, the things that God has asked me to be obedient to, and when I have said yes to those, when I've held on to God in the middle of a difficulty, that is when my faith has grown the most. And I think all of you who've served God maybe for many years, you would say the same thing, those are the growth points really that have meant the most to you. Now this weekend, we are going to read one of the most unusual but most exciting stories in the Old Testament. After 8 weeks from the life of Abraham, here we come really to one of the shining moments of Abraham's life. This story, though, confirms an important teaching about how God deals with his people and how he strengthens our lives. Really, we're going to find out how God uses tests in our lives. And in fact, if we go through this story this morning, I want you to see some instructions, really, that God has given us about how to go through a test. You know, this is a story that's used to encourage our hearts. And really, if you examine this text, you are going to see instructions that God has for us as we go through tests. Now, you're going to start in chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 1, and we get the first instruction right off the bat. And this instruction is just simply this: expect tests from God. You see it in chapter 22, verse 1. Look what it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Now, that phrase, sometime later, is not very specific. You remember that Ishmael was born to Abraham when Abraham was 87 years old. And then Isaac was born to Abraham when he was 100 years old. And now it looks probably as if Isaac is a teenager. So Abraham was somewhere in that vicinity of 115 years old, 40 years before God had promised him a son. And then after waiting 25 years, that son finally appeared. We've been talking all about that. And now 15 years later, here's this beautiful child that he has waited for, that he is now loves and has in his home. Now I want you to notice with me some little words you find in the text here in verse 1. God tested Abraham. Now, friends, there are many kinds of trials, but I think there are two basic kinds of tests in the Bible. And the first kind of test is just simply when a hardship or an adversity is used to prove and strengthen a believer's heart. And usually what that means, man, is that God allows some kind of difficult trial in your life so that you can respond to him in faith. and he allows it in your life. And you see this implied over and over and over again in Scripture. Some of you are saying, well, Art, this test that Abraham's going through, that surely God would never test us. Well, look what the Scripture says in James. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the what? Test. He will receive the crown of life. So trials test our hearts, and God is watching to see our perseverance. The psalmist affirms this as well. Look what it says in Psalm 66. O God, for you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. In fact, the apostle Paul affirms that God tests believers in 1 Thessalonians. He says, we are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. So difficult trials have tested my heart, I got to let you know, more than once. One of the most difficult trials of my life was when my one-week-old son died. And he died about 25 years ago now. It was one of the biggest trials of my life, and it was a major turning point in my life. Why? Because somehow I had to decide if I could trust God. And as I went through that adversity, as I reached out to God and said, yes, God, I can trust you, it tested my heart. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. When God tests our hearts through adversity, that doesn't mean that he causes the adversity. Remember, I don't think for one moment that God killed my child so I could have a little test. That's not it at all. My child died because, God says that every man gets or woman gets a certain amount of time on the planet. And my son's time was 6 days, and that was his time. Also, my son died because evil is present in the world. And when evil is there, death is there. So I don't say that God caused that, but I know this. He allowed it, didn't he? He allowed my son to die. And when he did, then I had the opportunity to reach out and to trust him. Now, this passage here in Genesis 22, I've given you one kind of test, this issue of just adversity. But there is a second kind of test that God allows in our life. And this is the test of obedience. It's a different kind of test. The Lord said to Jeremiah, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, and give every man according to his ways. And part of the ways that God is looking to see is our obedience to him. Sometimes that obedience is tested. Now, this test here in Genesis 22 is this second kind of test. It's all about obedience to God's will. God creates a situation in which Abraham has got to choose. Will he obey a clear command from God? Will he choose to trust God in the middle of that obedience? And to what extent will he delay? Or what extent will he obey? It's just that simple. And these first two verses, I think, present the test. Remember that, by the way, that Abraham is not telling the story. That Abraham, the narrator, is telling the story. So Abraham doesn't know that it's a test. This was a sudden, surprising command from God in which Abraham had to consider, am I going to do this? So if God orchestrates a test, either through letting you in adversity or by asking you to do something, what is the purpose of that test? What's going on? Where is it? Well, I've told you a few things already, but I want you to capsulize this. I want to capsulize this and just telling you, remind you, there are usually three reasons why God would test a believer. You've got to know this. First, a test helps a believer to perfect a believer's character. You can see that in James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That's a character quality. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. So trials come, and we respond to God, and it produces character qualities, and those character qualities eventually make us more and more mature. That's part of why God would allow a test. Second reason for a test, I've already told you about, to purify a believer's faith. You can see the Apostle Peter and his opinion about this and what the Holy Spirit asks him to write in 1 Peter 1. It says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So when we endure trial and when we continue to trust God, our trust gets stronger, our faith gets stronger. Not only that, the name of Jesus is glorified, not only now, but in the world to come. And there's a third reason for a test, though. And this is one of the reasons that we're going to see in Abraham to expand a believer's experiential knowledge of God. And we see this later in the story with Abraham. I won't talk a lot about it now. But the bottom line is this. We sometimes get a new revelation of who God is when we go through a trial. And it's not just head knowledge. Man, we know it because we've experienced it. So I'm trying to help you get a handle then on why God would allow tests. Why? Because, you know, what do we usually ask when there's a trial in our life? Why me? Why now? Why this? You know, we always are going, oh, well, I kind of understand this. But we want an explanation, a specific explanation. I want you to know that all the explanation we get is right here in the Scripture. We know some of the reasons, but we don't know often the specifics. I want to assure you of something, however. If you're being tested or you're in a difficult trial this day, when God tests us, He is not trying to break us. He's trying to prove that we're unbreakable. That's the nature of a test. He's not trying to break something. He's trying to build something in our lives. If He allows a test, if He allows a trial in our life. Years ago, I read about a time when they were building the Union Pacific Railroad across the nation. And they had this huge canyon they were going to go over. So the engineer built this trestle bridge across this canyon. And to test this thing, he put more cars on the train. He loaded them fully. And he had that railroad rest on that bridge for one full day with twice the weight that it was designed for. And one of the workers said, man, are you trying to break that bridge? He said, and the engineer said, no, I'm trying to prove that it's unbreakable. You see, when God tests a believer in whatever way He does it, He's not trying to break you. He's trying to prove that you're unbreakable. You say, well, if God is all-knowing, He should already know that. Well, you got a point there. I understand. Yes, He does know. But guess what? We don't. We don't know. As I've thought through the tests that God has in my own life, I have come to the conclusion that God wants His kids to know what they're capable of. He wants us to gain the confidence that comes from moving through a test and knowing that we can follow God no matter what, because that confidence then moves me ahead with God in a lot of different ways. So God sometimes tests our faith by asking us to bear what seems unbearable, to do what seems undoable, and to expect what seems impossible. But He does it for a reason. When we come through that test, we are more confident of the God that we serve, and we know ourselves what we're made of and what God can do in us. Abraham's trust in and reliance upon God was going to be demonstrated in his obedience, and Abraham would know how far he was willing to go with God. Now, at the end of this test, he would know God in a greater way. But it is a very, very difficult test for Abraham. Look at this thing. God is asking Abraham to do something that he would never have imagined. He's asking Abraham here to sacrifice his son. And that was unthinkable for two reasons. First of all, it was child sacrifice, something that was totally outside the character of God. And number two, it was unthinkable because God was asking Abraham to sacrifice the child that was the key to the promise that God had given him over and over again. You know, we've been studying Abraham's life now for 8 weeks, and you've seen God reveal to Abraham over and over and over again, man, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to do it by giving you a child. Here was the child. And now God is seemingly saying, well, you know, you know, the sun is going to go away. It was staggering. Now, look at the precise wording of God's instructions here. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. Do you see how those phrases kind of build up? Just God is emphasizing the worth of Isaac. He's emphasizing the worth of this sacrifice, how precious Isaac was to Abraham. Your only son, the one that you love so much, Isaac. And with every phrase of that commandment, you can just see probably the pain that Abraham would have been experiencing. God tests a believer's heart to obey sometimes by asking that believer to surrender to him the best they have. Very difficult sometimes. For Abraham, the best was Isaac. But following the Lord's will sometimes, man, that'll mean that for all of us, we must give up, be willing to sacrifice whatever it is that God has asked us to sacrifice. And some of you are going, what? God may ask us to sacrifice? That doesn't sound right. Listen, you've been following the Lord for some time. You got to know something. Yeah, sacrifice is part of the program. And that's when obedience is the most difficult, when we're sacrificing something that we care about. Think about me for a moment, the things in your own life that are dearest and most treasured. Now, of course, all of us would think of our families. But think about the other things in your life. Think about your freedom, your time, the respect of others. Think about financial security. God may call upon all of us, any of us, to sacrifice in a way in which we're having to give our best. I think of an example in the 19th century. His name was Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a lawyer. Charles Finney was a sharp guy. He had a big future ahead of him as a lawyer. God called him to preach the gospel. So what did Charles Finney have to give up that was the best? Well, he had education. He had a career. He had financial security. And what did God ask? I want you to give it up to preach the gospel. God sometimes asks us to obey by giving our best. And after much soul searching, of course, Charles Finney said yes to God. Of course, God used him in a miraculous and mighty way. I guess my point is this. Sometimes we look at the Old Testament and say, well, that was a test. That doesn't happen. We know that trials and tests can still come our way. They come into our lives. And when they do, what is God asking of us? He's asking us to surrender to his will. A test of obedience is all about asking us to surrender to his will. In fact, it reminds me of Luke 14, which has always challenged me. It says this, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, of course, Jesus was using hyperbole there, deliberate exaggeration, and he was doing that to get the point across. He's saying this, when we withhold from God anything, it will always be between us. God is saying, no, don't withhold anything from me. You be obedient to give me what I ask of you. And what was happening for Abraham here was that God was asking something that was his best. And there Abraham was going, man, I don't know what I'm going to do here. But it wasn't to break Abraham, it was to prove that he was unbreakable. Now, what are we doing here? We're looking at God's instructions for going through a test. And the first instruction is quite clear, man. Know that a test can come. And know that this test of obedience is not rare in a Christian's life. God asks us to do something, and then he's waiting to see, are we going to do it? There's a second instruction here, though, man, that's really important. You find it in the next verses. And the instruction is this. Would you obey God and trust that he will provide for you? Look at verse 3. We're going to read about 7 verses. Look what it says. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him 2 of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went out on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. As they reached the place that God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. By the way, Isaac would have had to cooperate with that, wouldn't he? He would have been part of this faith venture. On top of the wood, and then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now think about it for a moment, because I think Abraham's response is truly amazing. Abraham, it says, sets off. When does he set off? Early the next morning. Abraham did not wait to obey. And you know what happens often when we hear from God? We're reading God's word, or we're hearing by the Spirit something God wants us to do. We allow our emotions to get in the middle of the thing, and we struggle with it. We may struggle for days, for weeks, for months, even sometimes for years before we're able to do something. And the example here is, regardless of what Abraham was feeling, man, regardless of what he was struggling with, he loaded up the next morning, and he took his son and the wood and everything he needed for the sacrifice. Listen. Any time that we hear God's voice and we choose to obey, we're expressing faith in God. God asks believers to surrender to him. Why? Because it takes faith. It takes faith that God is going to provide. It takes a person who knows in the deepest part of their soul and their mind that God has the power and the knowledge to provide what I need, no matter what the sacrifice. And most of us can think, if you go back over your life and you say, well, all the times God has asked me to sacrifice or to give in some way, oh yeah, I see how he's provided. And it starts, I think, you know, as newly married couple, here Dan and I are going, okay, what should we do with our money? And oh, we think we should, God is asking us to tithe. Oh, what will happen? Well, let's do it. Let's obey. And then what do we see? God providing. And then we see God provides better on 90% than I can provide on 100%. It's a beautiful thing. God provides. But of course, that small little thing is over and over again in your life. You see, oh yeah, when God asks me to do something by faith, he will provide. Now, can you think of all the emotions that Abraham must have been feeling here? In fact, I think that's part of the 3-day trip. Why didn't God say, well, just to go over there on this little place over here, just real close here, and I'll meet you there. No. He gives them 3 days of travel. I think the 3 days was part of the test. Because can you imagine about the third day, potentially a guy's going, man, this is sounding weirder and weirder. And by day 3, he just turns around and goes back. That's part of the test. And you think of all the emotions that Abraham would have had as he rode. I can just see him looking over at Isaac constantly during that trip going, oh man, I can't believe this is happening. And potentially, there may have been doubts there as well. You can almost see it, the picture of Abraham, just that worried look of his going, I wonder what's going to happen. And yet, friends, I want you to know, our lives are not our own. And when God asks us to do something, the very best thing that we can do is go ahead and obey, knowing that we have a Father who will provide. And that's the key. You see, we can only fully obey God when we trust in God's provision. Isn't that true? Because we're always worried about what might not be there in our lives. We're always worried about the loss. Well, that's part of the test. Will you trust me for this provision? Now, Hebrews 11 gives us a little bit of insight on what Abraham thought. Look what it says, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And Abraham reasoned that God would raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So, guys, I don't know when it happened. I don't know if he knew from the beginning, but somewhere on that journey, Abraham figured it out. Okay, I'm going to obey. And somewhere on that journey, he figured it out. I can trust God for the provision. That story here, and the story here bears it out. Look at verse 5. Look what it says. What does Abraham tell the servants? He says, Isaac and I are going to go over there to sacrifice. And then what does he say? And then we will come back. Abraham, somewhere along the way, he knew what was going to happen. And he reasoned that God can do whatever it needed to happen to make that provision. By faith, he reasoned that God would provide. And because of it, he can make the sacrifice. And that's the example. We can give what God asks us to give when we know that we can trust him for the provision in our life. When we know that he's the kind of God who will make provision. Now, Abraham's trust was contrary to common sense in a way. And yet, he knew God. How could he do it? It didn't make sense. And yet, he had an absolute certainty about God's provision. So, Abraham loads the wood on Isaac. And like Christ, Isaac was carrying the means of his own death. In fact, you can see in this whole story a picture of this beautiful picture of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But that's for another day. Because the main lesson of this scripture is really about obedient faith. So here's Abraham. He has the knife. He has the fire. And finally, Isaac speaks. What does he say? Dad, where's the lamb? Can you imagine what that would have done to Isaac's or Abraham's heart at that moment? Can you imagine the lump in his throat? But look what Abraham tells Isaac, because this is the main point of this story, or at least this section. What does he say? God himself will provide. How many men and women, God's people, have lived by that since Abraham? Whether it was Joseph in prison or Moses at the Red Sea or David in the cave or Jesus at Calvary, they've all said the same thing. God himself will provide. Abraham had a complete certainty about it, and it released him to obey. How was going to provide for him? I don't know. Now, guys, I'm not telling you that God is going to have a miraculous provision for you every time that you pray or every time you have to give something. You know, in my own life, I think it's quite interesting. In my own life, my son David died after 6 days. But some of you know that several years ago now, when my son John was 17, he had lymphoma, he had cancer. And in that case, the provision was healing for him. That he's doing just great. He's married now, graduated from college. He's okay. But we spent a year with him. And frankly, that year was harder because we had lost a child already. And we knew that sometimes God will say, no, my provision isn't to heal the child. My provision is to give you what you need through that. That's the provision. My provision is I'm going to do something in your life to help you through that time. So you see, I'm not saying that the provision all the time is miraculous. Because I'm not God, and God knows what's best for us. But I can tell you this, God will provide. He will give you what is needed. I can tell you that when he asks you to do what's right, when he asks you to give what's most precious to you, when he asks you to move in his direction, trust him. Because he is going to provide. And sometimes it's a small thing. Sometimes it's just God whispering to you, just something he wants you to do, something small. And sometimes it's quite large. Doesn't matter. Would you trust God? Would you say, no, he's the God who can provide. Go in this direction, God tells you. Okay, I can do it. Why? Because God will provide. Don't think, sometimes we the consequences look bigger than God. Well, if I give this amount of money, man, what will that do? Doesn't matter. There's a God who will provide for you. And whether it's clear right now or just a little bit foggy, about how that's going to happen? Obey even though it's foggy. I'm telling you, guys, my wife and I, throughout our lives, have done this so many times, over and over and over and over again. Okay, God seems to be telling us this. What are we going to do? So we bind together and we pray, okay, Lord, we don't understand how this is all going to work out, but we're going to do it your way. And over again, Naomi and I have experienced God's provision in many, many different ways. What was Abraham going to say to Isaac? Well, here's what he said. I don't know, son. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what the provision is going to be, but I do know this. Look what he says. The Lord himself will provide. Somehow God's going to get us out of this mess. And he's going to do it. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he knew it was going to happen. I wonder how many of us have failed to obey God's word sometimes, God's voice to us, because we just couldn't see how he was going to provide. Son or daughter, give that money. No, I won't have enough. Son or daughter, go be a part of that ministry. I don't have the time. Son or daughter, stay committed to that marital relationship. No, my needs won't be met. And so many times, instead of obeying God because we can't see the future, we say, no, I'm going to take it into my own hands. Well, guys, me first does not work in God's economy, all right? Me first is not what God wants. It's always God first. And so I want to encourage you as God's people, you will never go wrong. You will never go wrong, whether it's a test of adversity or a test of obedience. You will never go wrong giving God what he asked you to give and then trusting him for his wonderful provision in your life. You know, every faith venture I have ever been on, God has provided for me. Everyone. And guys, if you've been around here 17 years, which some of you have, you've heard every story I've got, all right? I have no new stories. But you know how in 1977 when I started this drama ministry, how we were making $400 or $500 a month, each of us, but there was no visible means of support. We just went out there and started preaching the gospel and drama music, and then at the end of it would say, could we have a love offering, please? And for 3 years, we never missed a paycheck. God provided. You know how, I just told you how when we were, when we lost our child, God asked us to trust him. And he asked us to trust in his sovereign plan. And during the loss of that child, how God over and over again strengthened, helped, and provided what was needed and gave us the support we needed and gave us the inner strength to move through that. You know how when my son had cancer, how we had to trust God and pull close to him in that adversity and how our faith grew. And God provided. You know how when we started this church, did I know what was going to happen? Not at all. But God said, start the church. Great. And that team that we had with us, they did the same thing. Okay, God, if you say start, we start. Well, God has made provision, hasn't he? In so many, many different ways. Listen, I want to tell you something. In my life, I've always found that when you obey, God provides. And he may not provide in a way that you thought that you wanted, but it's always there over again. And verse 10, look at verse 10. It's the climax of the story here. Abraham doesn't hesitate. This is the moment of truth. He doesn't look around for an animal. He doesn't do anything. He's just being obedient. So in our mind's eye, think about it. It's like a television screen, one of those big, you know, at least 55 inches. You can see Abraham and the knife is raised. And if this were a TV program, the music would swell and there would be a close-up on the hand and then a close-up on his face and another close-up on the hand and then you'd break for a commercial. Okay? That's what would happen. Okay? Because this is important. They know you'll come back to see what happens with Abraham. Well, in this case, we're going to come back too, but there's a third bit of instruction that we need to know. And that third bit of instruction is this. Would you learn the lessons that God intends in the middle of your test? If there's a trial, if there's a test, believe me, there are lessons to be learned. Believe me, because we serve a God not of chaos, but a sovereign God who can weave the tapestry of our lives together in ways And we've each of our lives in ways that somehow make sense. He has purposes. Now look at the instruction here in 11:12, the first lesson. Verses 11 and 12. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Now Abraham learns at least two lessons over the next few verses. And this first lesson is something that he learns about himself. And what Abraham learns is this, that he could obey God in the most difficult of circumstances. "Now I know," God tells him, "that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your only son." You know, when I read this passage this week, I was just reading along, studying this passage, and all of a sudden I got an image of a father and his son. And his one-year-old son is with him, and his one-year-old son starts walking. And what does the parent say? "Look at you, you're walking, this is so great." And that little one-year-old, he can't talk much, but somehow he knows that his father is pleased, and he's going, "Oh, I can walk, you know, yeah." And then when the child gets to kindergarten, that same father says, "Look at you, you're starting school, you're such a big boy." And what does the guy say? "I'm a big boy, I go to school," you know, that's what he's saying, you know. "My father thinks I'm good," you know. And then when the child gets into junior high and that child gets some award or something, and what does the father do? "Look at you. I knew you could do it. You know, this is so great." And the 13-year-old smiles and goes, "My father has confidence in me. I can do things well. I can accomplish goals." And then that 18-year-old child graduates from high school like many some of your kids are doing right now. And what is that father telling them? "Wow, what an accomplishment. Look at you. You have done so well. I'm so proud of you." What does that 18-year-old think? "Wow, my dad has confidence in me. Look what my hard work has done. But look, God, my father thinks I can do it." You see, that's what was going on here. That's exactly what you see in verse 12. God tells Abraham through the angel, "Look at you. This is so great. You have confidence in me. You didn't withhold from me your best." So what does Abraham learn about himself? "Man, I can obey God in the worst of circumstances and the things that are the hardest in the most difficult times." Now you should know something. To fear God is a common expression in the Old Testament. And it means just someone who reveres and honors God, and as a result, he lives an upright and obedient life. That's what it means to fear God. And sometimes we say that it means to revere God, which it includes. But man, fear is the biblical term. And it means that you revere God in such a way that you know you will obey. So when we fear God, we figure out that obedience to his voice, no matter what the cost, man, that's where we want to go. Because he's the God who can do whatever is necessary. He is. Now there's a second lesson here. Abraham learned something about himself, but he also learned something about God. The second lesson here is in verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." So the lesson about God is pretty clear. Abraham learned that he could choose obedience because the Lord himself would provide. And remember, this is something that Abraham knew, but now he knows it experientially. Now in the greatest of ways, he's experienced God's provision. And that's part of what happens when we're tested. We learn firsthand what God is like. Listen, believers, come on. Get in this faith journey because it's the best way to learn something about God. Believe me. It's the best way to experience God, to obey him, to love him, to serve him, to do what's necessary in the midst of whatever you're at. Abraham looks up, and what does he see? He sees a ram in the thicket. And I want you to know something. If you think about it, that ram probably had to be in the thicket a whole long time before Abraham ever got there, right? Probably that ram in the thicket had already been placed there before Abraham ever got there. Abraham couldn't see the provision, but it was there. It was just waiting. God had that ram in the thicket the whole time. Look what Abraham names the spot here. The Lord will provide. In the Hebrew, we know it as Yahweh Yireh, or the English translation is Jehovah Jireh. You know, we used to sing songs about it. Jehovah Jireh, some of you remember that? We don't sing those songs anymore. I don't know why exactly. They seem a little dated, don't they? But it's Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. That's how deep a lesson this was for Abraham. He would never forget it. In fact, a little proverb just sprung up. On the mountain of the Lord will provide. A little proverb sprung up. That's one of the reasons God tests us, though, so that we're absolutely know, and we know it by experience, that God will provide. And this lesson is a lesson all of us need to know, too, isn't it? As I look around this room and I see people that I've known for years, wow, I see it in your life, too. And I see how you've grown because you found out the Lord will provide. There is a ram in the thicket for every believer who will trust God, who will say, yes, Lord, I will provide. Some of you are saying, yeah, Art, this seems like a last-minute provision to me. Well, yeah, you're right. It is kind of last minute. Why? Because God wanted to see Abraham commit to the obedience before the provision was made. That's often true in our lives. He wants to see us commit. And then as we commit, the provision flows. That's true with Abraham here. That's the nature of the test. When we fear God, listen, we can obediently surrender whatever He asks. And I know that for some of you in this room, that sacrifice has been so massive. In fact, none of us can walk each other's path. And so you can't listen to me and think that somehow I know your path. I don't. And for some of you, it's been very, very, very difficult. But I can only say there's a ram in the thicket for you. Here we know it. We know this about God. He will provide. God sometimes tests our faith by asking us to bear what seems unbearable, to do what seems undoable, and to expect what seems impossible. He does it. He allows it, and then He does it sometimes because He wants us to know Him better. He wants us to grow as His kids. He wants us to enter heaven one day with a heart that's more like His, with a faith that's strong. And it's such a difficult thing to go through Christian life and remain the same. Man, I don't recommend it, all right? It's a lot better to be in the test God wants us to and to come through. Remember, He's not trying to break us. He's trying to prove to us even that we are unbreakable. No matter how difficult the sacrifice, we can obey God. You can trust the God that you serve. And when you do, you're going to see that the Lord Himself will provide. Yahweh Yireh.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org. Or contact us at 253-848-2028.